Passover is coming up, which usually is about the fourth common month. And check the website to get the approximate date on that, okay? And that's YahvehYahweh.name. In John chapter 6, reading about the loaves and the fish, Messiah, when they were filled, he said unto his emissaries, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So there is no wasting. Also see this in Mark 5:11. So here we are, John 6:13. They gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Messiah did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And then later in that chapter, in verse 32, Messiah said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of Yahweh is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Yahweh, evermore give us this bread. Messiah said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Messiah, Yahushua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Yahushua therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day, at the second coming. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Yahweh. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, except he which is of Yahweh. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give you for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I assume these are secular Jews. Then Messiah said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. When again? When he dies? No, at the last day. John 6:54. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And of course he was standing right there next to them, and they were not eating his hand or his arm or anything. No, he was speaking symbolically here. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. So what are the symbols? The bread and the wine. The bread being the symbol of Messiah's body, and it's not to be taken as if it is literally the body of Messiah, as many people in a certain faith believe that, and that's their privilege. For the most part, a free country, we're able to believe what we can. But some Protestant assemblies, I noticed that a First Christian, at a First Christian, and several places I noticed that they were sitting by themselves, the little piece of bread and a little tiny cup of wine or grape juice was given to them, and they just quaffed it down. They just chucked it down, and that's all there was to it. There was no words that were said at the time. I was embarrassed about that. And just gobble it down by myself with nobody fellowshipping with me. I'm not breaking bread with others. That just didn't seem right at all. But anyway, that's their prerogative. That's their way of having these elements every week they do. Of course, Messiah said to do this at the Passover. This is when we are supposed to do it. And to the destruction of the Passover, they keep it weekly, but not on the Passover. Quite frequently, they ignore Yahweh's Passover, which cometh again on Aviv 14, the fourth common month. First month of the year is the month of Aviv. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And then later in 62, scroll down. What if, and you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. He is reiterating that truth. So that was in John 6. There are many other scriptures about the Passover, about the breaking of the elements, the bread and drinking the wine and sharing this together, doing this once a year. And so it's to be taken reverently and also not in some sort of a trance or thinking that we're literally receiving Messiah's body as the RCC Church does. And of course, I did that for many years with them, for 50 years. But then I discovered that we must be born again, and that we are saved by the blood of Messiah, and that we do things according to Scripture, not as what man has told us, necessarily. So, and then they say, well, just bless God anyway, you know, but that seems to cover anything, whether right or wrong, you know. But today, we move on now from that subject. Hope I didn't step on any toes today. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling unnecessarily, but we don't want to ignore, we don't want to hurt Yahweh. Okay, the book Freedom Under the Law by Bill Schultz, again, as we pick up now, on page 13, and down about the middle of the page, he talks about the USA, the Declaration of Independence, specifically lists life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, ordained by Yahweh in the Torah. There is a prohibition against murder in the Ten Commandments. Thus Yahweh guaranteed the right to life. The law of Yahweh contains a provision to proclaim liberty. In Leviticus 25, verse 10, proclaim liberty, set the captives free. The Torah also underwrites the capital of the nation by distributing the land, giving every family the freedom to pursue its own joyfulness. As readers of Scripture, the drafters of the Declaration of Independence would have been familiar with these passages of Scripture. So now I'd like to briefly turn there in Leviticus 25. In case you are unable to do that at this time, or we could at least read it together. And my name is Stephan Yah. 25 verse 10 says, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Not counting 50, but the 50th. So the 50th year be unto you. You shall not sorrow nor reap that which is growth of itself, nor gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be separated, or kadosh, unto you. You shall eat the increase, therefore, out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. So what does this have to do now with proclaiming liberty and freedom in Yahweh's law? You know, the law is spoken of in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, the great chapter of liberty. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. For the law of Yahweh is bondage to some people, isn't it? And to those the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the law of Yahweh. No, it's not under the law. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of Yahweh. Neither indeed can be. Many people who don't want to be, quote, under the law, but do they want to be under the sovereignty, the authority of the Almighty Maker of the universe? That's the good question. We hope that they are wanting to be under Yahweh's government, under his authority, and under his word, under his Torah, which is constructed around certain prohibitions, leaving everything not prohibited free to do. Exactly the way American laws were constructed originally. The laws of many foreign countries, that is, outside of the USA, sometimes defined only accepted behaviors in their laws, leaving all else prohibited. Only accepted behaviors were allowed. All other behaviors were prohibited in other countries. Under both the laws of America and the Torah, you are prohibited from destructive behavior and are left free to express your Yahweh-given creativity. By only prohibiting certain behavior, the Torah guarantees liberty. We're going to explore three great freedoms. The law of life. From the very beginning, Yahweh has concerned about life, a major concept in Torah. He created us to live the life that he gave us. His law guarantees life by forbidding murder. He encourages us to live in ways that bring his blessing in the life we live. Live life to the fullest. And his law teaches us how to live in joy. Genesis chapter 2. Yahweh, sovereign, formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now Yahweh, sovereign, had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And Yahweh, sovereign, made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the Creator who personally put life into the first man. The word for life is hay in Hebrew. The letter hey and corresponds to the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Incidentally, that letter is in the separated name of Yahweh twice, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. And it's the same letter that Yahweh added to the names of both Abram to make Abraham and Sarai to make Sarah. He is the author of life, and he wants us to live it to the fullest. Because of that, he put the tree of life, or the tree of hay, into the garden so that we would choose life. He asked us to choose life, but many chose death. Many times in the law, the Torah, he asks us to choose life, and many more times in history, we have chosen death. He wants to guarantee our life, and we seek only death by rejecting his law. That is the tune that most of Christianity seems to be following these days. This day I am asking you to reject the death that comes from deciding what is good and what is evil. It is not for you to decide. I am asking you to rethink your life and to choose the life that comes through the word of Yahweh. The law of Yahweh, or the Torah of Yahweh, is a way of life. is regarded as the tree of life. That way will bring peace and joyfulness to your soul. Rabbis taught that the Torah is a tree of life. The Torah is written on a scroll. The two poles the scroll is wrapped up are called branches. The scroll is made up of many pages. They are called the leaves, L-E-A-V-E-S. And we're told not to choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil because we are not to decide for ourselves what is good and evil. Yahweh has already decided what is good and what is evil in the scriptures, in the Torah mainly, but throughout scripture. It said in Isaiah he was going to magnify the law, so he came later on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and he magnified the law and made it honorable. He fulfilled it. He filled it full. It is not for us to choose what is good, what's evil. It's for us to choose good over evil. We're told to choose the tree of life. Regardless of the Protestant pastor may protest, we must choose the life that Yahweh grants us through Torah. If we'll live by his teaching and instructions for how to live our lives on planet Earth, then he says that he will give us a full lifespan. Exodus 23, I will give you a full lifespan. He is life. He gave us life, and he will give us the instructions on how to live that life to the fullest. His ways bring long life. His ways bring prosperous life. He said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, or to the full. This was true when he gave Moses the Torah, and it is true today. Yahweh is in the life business. It is the devil that brings death. He's in the bondage business. In Torah, Yahweh guarantees the right to life. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am Yahweh. Leviticus 19:16. Yahweh, our life giver, honoring the life he gives. And then why does he require capital punishment? In order to honor him as the life giver, those who maliciously take a life must be put to death. Failing to execute a murderer enables them to do it again. Some people have to be put to death because of the choices that they have made. Only Yahweh can prescribe these circumstances. If one is convicted of a violent crime, such as violent rape, that person needs to be put to death. Capital punishment requires that we firmly establish the guilt of the perpetrator before they are executed. We must take every precaution to make sure that we do not execute the innocent one. Once all the precautions have been taken, those who have earned capital punishment must be executed. And I quote, anyone who murders a person is to be put to death as a murderer only on the testimony of witnesses, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Do not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who deserves to die. He must surely be put to death. Numbers 35:30. In order to honor Yahweh as life-giving and to honor the life that he has given us, we must execute those guilty of murder and must return the practice of protecting the innocent to give the innocent to give us liberty. We must not be hasty to judge a crime before the case in the proper court. And he provides six towns to give the Levites, cities of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee while before the trial, to which a person has killed someone may flee, and in addition give them 42 other towns. Numbers 35, verse 6, and also 30 and 32. So there's a lot of comprehensive study there, but mainly we're just talking about the liberty and the need to follow Yahweh's law of life, the Torah, and his way of living is, you know, it's a daily and a year-round with set-apart feasts. That's a year-round experience and a way of living that I have come to know and come to really enjoy and appreciate more and more. And had we been doing this before our physical family was put together by him, then we would have had a much better family life if we would have been following Yahweh's Torah or known about it and then following it and had the power to follow that and his decrees and his laws. Deuteronomy 30, 15. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I command you today to love Yahweh, your mighty one, sovereign one, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Then you will live and increase, and Yahweh, your mighty one, will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. Living by Torah brings life, so says the life giver, Yahweh. We pause now and look at Yahweh's very own instruction manual. His way is easier than our way. Yahweh did not say all the things in his law just to hear himself talk. Yahweh is real and he wants to deal on that basis. He's been very careful to tell us everything we need to know to live life and enjoy it. Deuteronomy 30, 47. They are not just idle words for you. They are life. By them, you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This law was not something to be discarded after Messiah came. This law is a way of life that richly rewards those who live it. The Torah is true. As people who declare our belief in Yahweh, why don't we take him at his word? Yahweh guarantees our life in his perfect law. Over and over again, he commands us to choose behavior that will preserve, protect, and sustain our life. His Torah shows us how to have fulfilled, meaningful, abundant, prosperous life. He promised that if we should live by his laws, his way of life, then he would give us long life. For simple obedience, he has promised prosperity, good health, and his personal blessing. He is the Yahweh of life. He is our creator. And that's the end of that chapter in Freedom Under the Law, the Law of Life. The next is the law of liberty. Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Messiah Yahusha has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That passage in Galatians is used by many theologians to justify teaching the Torah no longer exists. That's absurd. Have any of them ever read Torah? Amazingly, they'll use the parts that they like, but reject the rest. They may like the parts on tithing, for example, but do not like the parts on Sabbath, that they have to lead a Sabbath service once a week. Frankly, I think that they need a real job. Messiah gave us our freedom in Torah, and then came to pay for our transgressions of Torah on the tree at Calvary. That does not mean we should go out and live like the heathen. Our freedoms are defined in Torah. And what we live and how we live looks different than the heathen. Yahweh has given us freedoms that we could never imagine. Don't you know that we have permanent written legal permission from Yahweh to take the seventh day of the week off from work? Every week in perpetuity, theologians will tell you that the time off is bondage. I think that they need to actually work for their living. Which American wants to disown our Constitution, other than maybe those that are in power in the USA in 2015. But the document that guarantees our rights as American citizens, who thinks the Constitution is bondage? We like our rights. We like legal protections, and we all fight for them. Yahweh has guaranteed our rights in Torah. So why do we call that bondage? We need to go back and read Torah and see the great provision of our loving Yahweh. James, the brother of Yahushua Messiah, describes the law of Yahweh. And we'll look here in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives liberty and freedom continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. James 1:25. He calls the Torah his perfect law that gives freedom. By proscribing certain bad behaviors, Yahweh's law guarantees the liberty of the righteous. For example, by proscribing murder, it guarantees life. By proscribing theft, it guarantees personal property. By proscribing the fraudulent moving of property lines, it guarantees real property. that actually belongs and was given to you by Yahweh. It belongs to you. By proscribing false witness, it guarantees honesty in contracts. By proscribing false units of measure, it guarantees honesty in business. The entire law, Torah, is laid out to guarantee the rights of law-abiding citizens of your country. This concept should be easy to understand for all Americans because we use the same system of law in America. At least if you go back 50 years. Most people have never heard the book of Leviticus. It's amazing, the rules that define sexual immorality in chapter 18. And past that, days to celebrate as Kodesh. Days to celebrate as Kodesh to Yahweh are in chapter 23, Leviticus. The dietary laws are in chapter 11. Laws of bodily hygiene in chapter 15. If Leviticus or Vayikra. Many people through the ages would have been spared much pain and suffering if they had lived by the contents of Leviticus, written to the children of Israel, which you are. Think of the freedom from disaster, like the Black Plague of the 1300s, or the millions who have died prematurely from disease due to poor hygiene, or the millions who have died from cancer, heart disease, and stroke from eating the wrong foods. Vayikra is the central book of the Torah. The book of Vayikra, or Leviticus, is full of practical rules for daily human living. Yahweh teaches us in this book how to be free from many human problems. Yahweh granted freedom to mankind right in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, and Yahweh commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you'll surely die." In this passage, Adam is free to do whatever he likes. Yahweh of Israel, the sovereign of the Hebrew scriptures, is Yahweh of freedom. Adam is free to eat whatever he likes. Adam is free to take the healing his body needs from all the plants in the garden. The only thing that Adam is not free to do is to take the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Sadly, he never touched the tree of life, and he should have. He should have eaten from Yahusha, the tree of life. By the way, when Mr. Schultz here said that Adam was free to eat anything he liked, that did not include unclean things, as we see there in later in the book of Genesis, that there was a difference, a distinction between the clean and unclean. The animals went on the ark, were called to Noah, and the animals went on by two if they were unclean, and they went on by seven, in a group of seven if they were clean animals. Now consider the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yahweh says, when you eat from it, you'll surely die. Satan says, you'll surely not die. You see, mankind has been trying for years to make Yahweh the liar. Adam did not die right at that very moment. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die. For Yahweh knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like Yahweh, knowing good and evil." We all believe the lie because we have taken for ourselves the knowledge of what is good and evil. We think that we have become like Yahweh. Yahweh wanted us to be free. He placed eternity in the heart of man. We chose something finite, something that we could see. Now we're not free. By talking now at the beginning of this podcast, we spoke of Passover. The Torah contains the great story of Yahweh's redemption of his people. In those days, in Exodus, people looked forward to the Messiah. And in these days, after the tree of Calvary, 2,000 years after Messiah rose from the grave, we look back at the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. And the account in Exodus shows the great lengths that he will go to restore our freedom. And I quote, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am Yahweh, and will bring you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Then you'll know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Yahweh went to this great length in the ancient past to show us in every age how much he wants mankind to be free. His mighty act of freeing the Israelites, an example of his mighty act to free all of us from the snake in the Garden of Eden. In fact, the Passover story in the scriptures, it's the story of freedom. New Testament or old, it's the story of human freedom provided by our living, loving Yahweh. Yahweh did not create mankind to be slaves. He created us to be his very own children. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven of the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Sovereign Yah loves us in ways that we can't even imagine. He is the mighty one of freedom, the Elohim of freedom, the Yahweh of liberty. He wants all his children to come to him and receive freedom. As we read in Leviticus 25, proclaim liberty. His Torah is that law of liberty. When we failed, he sent his son to purchase our liberty by his death on the tree at Calvary. Yahusha the Son has freed us from slavery to sin and redeemed us to be his people. Therefore, live under liberty by obeying the law of Yahweh. What a mighty Yah we serve. The first thing on Yahweh's mind after the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses, to us, to the people, is the freeing of slaves, that's a misnomer there. They weren't slaves. They were servants. Exodus 21. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year he shall go free without paying anything. Now, I'd like to point out that in the ancient times there were no prisons. If you could not pay or make restitution for your crime, then you were sold into servanthood to pay for your crime. Even those in the prison of slavery, Yahweh is concerned about freedom. He is the Elohim of freedom. And Satan the devil is the Elohim of slavery. Sin makes slaves of people, slaves to the devil, ha-Satan. To make a fine point, Yahweh chose the Sabbath year for the emancipation. Every servant was freed from work on the Sabbath day, and every servant goes free from slavery in the Sabbath year. Yahweh is the mighty one of freedom, and he grants freedom on his time every week and every 7 years. Prophetically, in the millennial reign of Yahusha Messiah, freedom will be proclaimed throughout the earth for the 7,000-year span of time. Not only are the servants to go free in the seventh year, everybody is to have a year off from work in the seventh year. Yahweh said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to Yahweh. For 6 years sow your field, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather crops. But in the seventh year the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to Yahweh. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant and maidenservant, and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." Leviticus 25. Yahweh commands every seventh year off from work. Freedom to go to the beach. Freedom to be with your spouse. Freedom to spend precious time with your children. Precious time to be alone. And to pause, precious time to get alone with Yahweh every seventh year. If that's bondage, sign me up. We work ourselves to death 24/7 like bees. We fight with our employers over manner of grievances when all that's really needed is some time off. The Sabbath rest, the rest of Hebrews 4 of Exodus 20, the seven-day Sabbath, and his feast days, his judgments. There are privileges. Yahweh is our maker. He knows just how much time off we need and when we need it. His creation is perfectly coordinated whole. You need your seventh year off, and the creation needs that time off to recuperate. With freedom under Yahweh's law comes abundant prosperity. Not the kind that comes up and goes up and down in the business cycles, the peaks and the valleys. Not that, but obedience to the Torah frees us from poverty and deprivation. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today, for the commandments, statutes, and judgments, actually says. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then Yahweh, your mighty one, will keep his covenant of love with you, and he swore to your forefathers. He'll love and bless you and increase your numbers. He'll bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new oil and wine, the calves of your herds, and the lamb of your flocks, and the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. Yahweh will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Mitzrayim, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. Deuteronomy 7:11-15. So if we walk in freedom, then Yahweh will bless us with abundant national prosperity. And frankly, that's a no-brainer. His laws define our freedom. The Torah defines freedom. Yahweh grants us freedom from political and religious tyranny. If only we would walk in his statutes, to obey him, to love him, we will obtain liberty. Blessed more than any other people. Like the Torah of Yahweh defines love toward your neighbor, proper conduct, and it spells out your rights, and Yahweh promises to bless you for obedience. If that weren't enough, Yahweh also promised to make everyone healthy. I don't like spending my hard-earned treasures on medical payments. Yahweh said that if we walk this earth as free men and free women under his Torah, then he will take away our sickness. What an incentive to do right. And one of those quotations is in 1 Peter. It says, by his stripes we are healed. Another would be in Isaiah 53, the first place of mention. Yes, he was afflicted, born as sorrows. Let's read that. Since Passover is almost here, some people keep it a little bit earlier. They have different calendars, but we keep calendar according to the instructions on the truth of Yahweh and on our website, yahweh.name. So we're going to Isaiah or Yeshayahu 53, and I could normally quote this, but today, this morning, I can't. So he is, in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So that's not talking about Israel. This is talking about Yahusha. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. See also Vayikra 13 about leprosy. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was, now here's that part that I was quoting a minute ago. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And almost as if stricken with leprosy. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53. And we're still on that chapter about the freedom in the book Freedom Under Law of Yahweh by Bill Schultz. On the last page of this portion called The Law of Liberty. And another part is Deuteronomy 15. That every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to his fellow Israelite. He shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother, because Yahweh's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. The time of liberty. And you may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land Yahweh your sovereign is giving you to possess as an inheritance, yes, the land of Israel, he will richly bless you, if only you fully obey Yahweh, your mighty one, and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 5. How's that for freedom? Yahweh canceling your debt every seventh year. And not necessarily all your credit card debts there, but when Yahweh said you would go free in the seventh year, he meant free. But you still have responsibilities to take care of. You don't just jump in toward the last of the seventh year and chalk up all these debts and then think that it'll all be forgiven. I don't think it works that way. That's really presumptuous. How could anyone be poor if all their debts were canceled every seventh year? No matter what happened in one seven-year stretch, a person could always recover in the next stretch. Then I'm wondering about the creditor. Would he become poor? But obviously, if he's following Yahweh, and he's loving Yahweh, and he's obeying Yahweh in every way, then he's going to be blessed. And I pray that, too, for my business friends. Those are owners and managers and presidents in charge of institutions and of the mercenary shops. What is in the Torah that is hard to do? Messiah took away the sacrificial law. We don't have to execute judgment on the Canaanites. All we have to do is live by the rules for human conduct and become prosperous beyond our wildest dreams, with all that time off that we need for our spouses, children, and our parents, grandparents. The first five books of the scripture called Torah, or the law of Yahweh given to Moses, are full of wonderful things like these. Our freedoms for all time are laid out in that wonderful section, the Pentateuch or Torah. The freedom to live life to the full is an important right that Yahweh has given to all who will obey him. To exercise that right, we need some time off, as it delineates and specifies throughout the word. In fact, in Hebrews 4, he said he limits a certain day, the seventh day. I like that. He limits that, it says in the King James Version. The inspired now. In Hebrews 4, he limited a certain day, the seventh day. So he didn't allow another day to become his Sabbath day. He limited it to his seventh day, Shabbat. Now, in Deuteronomy 24, if a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. A year off, a honeymoon. Most of us cannot afford a week off, and Yahweh tells us to go away and be with each other for a whole year. And some people would chime in, "Oh, I couldn't stand that," you know. Well, I think they have the wrong view of marriage and relationship, you know, and then they get talking about the sexual fantasies and things. And I'm thinking, are they thinking in the context of marriage or in just selfishness and just me, 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 being sexually fulfilled or something? I think that's what first comes to the mind of a lot of people in just a common way. But what we really want is to be totally happy and free to fulfill Yahweh's plan in our life and allow him to work in us by the Spirit of Yahweh, by the Ruach HaKadosh. Yahweh has filled his Torah and given it to us as a gift, his teaching and instruction for all mankind and how to live with great freedoms. And we have turned away, turned up our noses, and called it bondage. Yes, we could play a little section here for you. of Pastor Bert here, who's against the law.
That's the way the Father is with us. That's why He always is saying us, look at the lilies. Not because He wants us to look at flowers, but He wants us to obey Him rather than His laws. He wants to reshape our conceptions and our misconceptions about how much He loves us.
Well, my friend, of course, if He loves us, then He disciplines us. And He exercises us. He daily is in our life, working with us. And the Spirit is working with us, definitely. Another sound bit said that, this is Kevin Swanson, one of the people I regularly listen to off of Sermon Audio. Kevin, some of his friends actually were on the air talking about the feasts, and they really built it up great. And I thought, wow, this is even better than what I hear at Messianic Hebraic Assembly congregations. But then they had a change that went down and puttered out completely and said that, well, we don't have to obey that law anymore. Why would they build it up in the first place to keep the feasts and then turn around and say, well, phooey, that's nothing. We don't want to do that anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. But, you know, it's easy for me to think that way, too, having been a Gentile Christian and a jellyfish Christian for many, many years. And somebody throws that in my face, and the first thing I do is sort of blocks my mind. But then I just, you know, let my mind relax again and open up to the word of Yahweh, to the scriptures. Psalm 19, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. And we look at Paul. Paul says, so then I obey and keep the law. Romans 7. Let's go with that here. Romans chapter 7. That the law is spiritual, Paul says. And this is right before Corinthians. Yes, the gifts and calling of Yahweh are without repentance. Paul said, oh, here's also quoting David in Psalm chapter 1. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. Then look at Psalm chapter 1. I should know that off the top of my mind there, but I don't know what happens here. Well, I'm not going to think about that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate night and day. See also Psalm 119, verse 14. Now we've got to wrap it up here. There were other sound bits that I could have played for you. Okay, now I better not. But various preachers deliberately get on the air and talk about how hard the Torah is to do, and that the law of Yahweh was given to us. And Yahweh knew we couldn't keep it, but he told us that we should. You know, we should keep it, but he knew we couldn't. So then when it turned out that we didn't keep it, he found a better way and found the Jesus guy with the sunglasses on there. And Grove Christian Camp, they're going to send young children to Christian camp for the summer for a week and raise all the necessary funds for that. But the theme of that was Jesus rocks. I don't know what they're going to smoke there, but I don't think I want to send my child to a seminar, to a summer camp where the theme is Jesus rocks. There may be some good things in there, but that's not one of them. The freedom to live life to the full is an important right that Yahweh has given to those who will obey Him. To exercise that right, we need His Sabbath days. We need His Torah. And it teaches us that we are given the freedom to keep His law. Every worthwhile human freedom is in Torah. We need to return to the Torah of righteousness and reclaim liberty. All men everywhere value their freedom. Yahweh has established human freedom in His Torah. Our freedoms are defined And we all need to read the first five books of Scripture and study those honeydews for living the way Yahweh would like us to live. We'll find in the law a system for living. Well, we'll find a relationship. I don't like the way Bill put that, a system and the rules and all this. That's true. That doesn't bother me at all, but for most people, it might. And so it really should be phrased differently. You will find in Torah a relationship with Yahweh for living that would eliminate many of our modern ills, but it would also be lining right up with Yahweh's spirit, with the Torah. Yahweh is the Word, and He's the one who formed the nose right on every human and animal's face. Return to Torah, world, and rediscover the Yahweh of the Scriptures. Well, the next chapter we've already covered, the law of happiness, and that's, let's see, that's in the file about, well, I gotta go through it here. Let's see, books, Freedom Under the Law, Feast Days. And it says page 34 to 37, that's the law of happiness to empower us to realize our dreams. And supposedly American law left us free to pursue happiness, but it does not equip us to pursue happiness. Yahweh's law equips us to pursue true happiness in our lives. One man is equipped by Yahweh with one talent. Another man is equipped with an entirely different ability. Oh, okay. Both are free to pursue happiness under Yahweh's law, but both cannot of necessity choose the same path with equal results. One man may have, or woman, may have a talent of working with their hands. Another man may have a talent with numbers. The man whose talent is working with numbers may have a hard time working with his hands. In Torah, Yahweh divides that land among all the people. Every family was to receive enough land to provide for their needs. Land provides the resource to pursue happiness in your own way and on your own time, regardless of the vocation that you decide to pursue. The farmer can farm, and the builder can build, the accountant can count, and the salesman can sell, and the preacher can preach. The accountant can count. Is that why he gave us 10 fingers and 10 toes? We can count up to 20. No. Everybody equipped by Yahweh to pursue happiness and given the land and the law and our neighbors and the opportunity to meet with neighbors once or twice a week or maybe every day for fellowship with one another and reading Yahweh's scriptures has a unique Yahweh-given way. It says in Numbers 26, the land is to be allotted to them as an inheritance based on the number of names, to a larger group, given a larger inheritance, to a smaller group, a smaller one. Each is to receive its inheritance, according to the number of those listed. Be sure that the land is distributed by lot. What each group inherits will be according to the names of its ancestral tribe. Each inheritance is to be distributed by lot among the larger and smaller groups. Numbers 26, 53 to 56. Yahweh furnishes land to every family. So he provides with room to grow, room to do whatever Yahweh equips us in personal talents. What is bondage? Man's way is bondage. Bondage is the transgression of the law. We need to return to the living Yahweh and serve him in freedom. Leviticus 25. So we just read Numbers 26. This is Leviticus 25. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. You are not to take away anybody's inheritance. Yahweh capitalized the whole nation and would capitalize the whole world. No more socialist government to take it away. No more tyrants, no more greedy families to take it away. Yahweh wants every human who will ever draw a breath to live free. The only way to do that is to portion out the land and let people pursue their dreams. Let yourself think for a moment. The whole world capitalized to pursue their dreams. Every child of the living sovereign one is free to use their talent on loan from Yahweh to really live their life. All of mankind suddenly unleashed from 6,000 years of bondage to slavery. To pursue happiness, joyfulness. That's the good news of the coming kingdom of Yahweh. the law of Yahweh not only capitalizes the nation so that we can pursue our dreams, but he tells us to enjoy life and to rejoice. There it is, Deuteronomy 12. There in the presence of Yahweh, now this is in the connection and regarding the feast days, Deuteronomy 12, you're to rejoice before Yahweh. Your family shall eat and rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because Yahweh has blessed you. So that's regarding Passover in particular. And you are to rejoice before Yahweh, your sovereign, in everything you put your hand to. Deuteronomy 12:18. Yahweh wants our joyfulness. And he put here happiness, so I'm using a different word, an alternative word that's better. In order to have happiness, we must first live by the law of freedom. That's the one we've been talking about, the Torah there. And then Yahweh will bless us when things work out Yahweh's way. And Yahweh blesses us when we walk in his word, in his love, in his obedience. And he's done everything else for us. So those substitute times just don't make it. They're not with the blessing of Yahweh. The summer camps and things like that are nice, but they're not Yahweh's commanded convocations. The substitute times, such as Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and Halloween, Valentine's Day, MLK, and on infinitum it goes, July 4th, and so on, they do not come with a blessing of Yahweh necessarily. There can be a blessing of nature, I think, there, but Yahweh's provided supernatural blessings and spiritual impartation during his times of celebration. Before the fall, Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They talked with Yahweh, and every human longs for the restoration of that fellowship. You can have it today. Celebrate those special times of Yahweh, with his people, and you'll feel his presence. I've done that, not all the time of the feast, but this last one in 2014, with the group there, Restoration Fellowship in Salem, Oregon. Boy, that was really a feast of all time, I'll tell you that. That was good. Leviticus 23:40, the feast of Sukkot. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and rejoice before Yahweh, your mighty one, for 7 days. And, of course, there's that last great day, which makes 8 days. The whole chapter of Vayikra 23 contains the feast days of Yahweh, including the Sabbath, and including the wave sheaf on a first day of the week. And after that is first fruits, commonly called Pentecost. Then after that, Yom Teruah, or the blowing of trumpets. Then Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement, when we look back at the offering Messiah did for us. We look forward to the future of when by the hands of a fit man, all the sins of the people are laid on the scapegoat, the Azazel goat. The goat is sent out into the desert by the hands of a fit man, and his sins are placed on him, not on the Messiah, but on the escape, the Azazel goat. The live goat that represents Messiah is offered as an offering for our sins, and that has been done, of course, 2,000 years ago on the stake at Calvary. So anyway, you find these days in Yahweh's timing, according to his timing in the constellation, the sun, moon, and the stars, Genesis 1:14. The times to celebrate for all time, and that explains the plan of Yahweh for the salvation of mankind. To you, at this time, and they examine the manifold blessings of Yahweh in the life of every man and woman and child, and they each contain their own special blessing for observance. The times of rejoicing, Numbers 10:10. Also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivals. It doesn't say Yom Teruah, it says new moon festivals, so that's 12 or 13 times in the annual cycle. It's good for the heart for us to laugh, play, and rejoice with Yahweh's people. Yahweh provides feast days, new moons, and Sabbath days, Colossians 2:14, or 2:16. Sabbath days to rest, relax, and have a wonderful time of enrichment, of restoration in us. Yahweh likes to enjoy that time with us. Enjoy some quality time with Yahweh and with his people. You do that by observing Yahweh's feast days and celebration with Yahweh's wonderful people. Yahweh likes Yahweh loves us to be together with him with fellowship, food, and joyfulness. And he enjoys it with us when you enjoy Yahweh and his people and his children. And let us be very concerned with the children and not just be irresponsible and send them off anywhere to just do any old thing. No, we want to specifically be responsible and look after them and be responsible. That's the key word there. Well, we received the Hebrew scriptures at the feast called Hallelujah scriptures. And in there, the paleo spelling of Yahweh's name, YHVH, and of Yahusha's name, actually they call it Yahshua, but they use paleo letters in this called the Hallelujah scriptures. And it says, freely give to those who cannot afford, supported by those who can. Matthew 10:8, you have received without paying, give without being paid. He's paraphrasing Matthew 10:8, Matityahu 10:8. Oh, here's the website, HallelYahScriptures.com. So that's HallelYah Scriptures. So HallelYah Scriptures. HallelYah YAH scriptures, scriptures.com, from Hallelujah Scriptures, P.O. Box 7625, Nth, that's N, Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi there, my friend in New Jersey. Zip 08902-7625 in USA. Here on the same planet that we're all located on right now. So we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. And don't forget to please drop me a line and encourage me if you're receiving anything out of these podcasts. I'm Stefan Yah. And my email address is stefanyah@yahweh.name. Shalom.